manifested. I haven't seen it manifested so far. Maybe it is, I don't know. It's certainly taking place, even if we cannot see it or taste it. On the occasion of Lakshmi Puja, I don't know if you do any puja today for Lakshmi Devi to try to bring in a few more crores or rupees or anything. We don't need to. Simply serve Prabhupada. Krishna will provide. And today on this occasion of the Tirubhav Mahotsav, the festival to honor the Murari Gupta's pastimes becoming unmanifested on this occasion, and perhaps there are a few other events on this day which make it all the more auspicious. It's the first day of Kartik, of course, and the terrible Vrata begins, where we refrain from Ur-Dal for 1 month. Can we tolerate this or can we not? Some of us do not even know what Ur-Dal is. And I'm sure you do from India, but in the West many people do not know what is that. And even if they are eating it, maybe they're taking some idli and dosha or some kind of papadam or something made from Ur-Dal, but it's very rare. It's not a big rata. So in this month our rata is really to increase our devotion. Plus, you can also do some austerities of a different kind. And if they assist you in the austerity of remembering Krishna and chanting his holy names more and more and more, and hearing and chanting about Krishna more and more and more, then they're of use. Otherwise, they're not much use. They're more of an abuse rather than a use. So if it helps to, for instance, give up eating sweets or something like that, if it helps to increase your attachment to service to the Vaishnavas and service to the holy name and to spread the message of Krishna consciousness, jolly good. If it doesn't, it's not worth it. We're here to become instruments for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So today, on this wonderful occasion, we're reading from the most auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam. And someone, oh, maybe the doors will open, otherwise we need a watch. This verse is Canto 4, Chapter 11, text number, is it on the board? 17, correct? Very good. Please repeat. Nimityamatram Tatrasin Nirgunaha Purushashabaha Vyaktavyaktam Idam Vishvam Yatra Brahmati Lohavat. Line by line. Nimitamatram Tatrasin Nirguna Purusha Shabaha Vyakta Vyaktam Midang Vishpam Yatra Brahmati Lohavat Nimitamatram Tatrasin Nirguna Purusha Shabaha Vyakta Vyaktam Idam Vishvam Yatra Brahmati Lohavat Nimitamatram Tatrasin Nirgunak Purusha Shabaha Vyakta Vyaktam Idam Vishvam Yatra Brahmati Lohavat. Nimitamatra tatrasin Nirgunak purushashabaha Vyakta vyaktam idam vishvam Yatra Bhamati Lohavat Tamatram Tatrasi Nirguna Purusha Shabaha Yatta Yattam Milam Vishvam Nimittamatram tattasi Nirguna purusha shabha Yatta yattam midam vishvam Yatra brahmati lohavat Nimittamatram tattasi Nirguna purusha shabaha Vyakta vyakta midang vishwa Yatra bhavati lohavat Nimitta matram tatrasi Nirguna purusha shabaha Yatta vyaktam idam vishvam Yatra bhavati lohavat. Any Matajis, ladies, like to chant? Nimitta matram tattasi Nirguna purusha shabaha Yatta vyaktam idam vishvam Yatra bhavati lohavat Tatrasin Nirguna purusha shabaha Yatta vyatta midam vishvam Yatra bhavati lohavat Nimitta matram Remote cause. Tatra, then, asit, was. Nirgunaha, uncontaminated. Purusha Rishabaha, the supreme person. Jukta, manifested. Avyaktam, unmanifested. Idam, this. Vishvam, world. Jatra, where. Brahmati, moves. Lohavat, like iron. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he jay. My dear Dhruva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. He is the remote cause of the creation of this material cosmic manifestation. When He gives the impetus, many other causes and effects are produced, and thus the whole universe moves, just as iron moves by the integrated force of a magnet. Purport. Can you hear? Okay. Is it okay? Is it echoing or what is happening? A little echo? Pardon? Little echo. What shall I do? The marble. We take the marble away. It's the marble at fault. We always blame something. Today it's the marble. It's the marble's fault. Probably it's my fault, but I don't know if I can correct my fault. Is that better? Well, I was thinking it might be too loud if I put the microphone there. Is that better? Okay.
In the verse, you read that in the verse that there's some attraction like a magnet. Is that idea in the synonyms? Is it expressed in the synonyms?
Like iron.
It's there in the synonym.
Yeah. Related.
Well, okay.
Whatever you tell me. Purport. How the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead works within this material world is explained in this verse. Everything is happening by the energy of the Supreme Lord. The atheistic philosophers who do not agree to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the original cause of creation think that the material world moves by the action and reaction of different material elements. A simple example of the interaction of elements occurs when we mix soda and acid and the movement of effervescence is produced, kind of bubbling and different things. But one cannot produce life by such an interaction of chemicals. This is one of Prabhupada's favorite challenges. Eh? If you say life comes from matter, here's the matter, make life. But as we heard a lot yesterday, a wonderful class by His Grace Harisori Prabhu, where he also mentioned back to His Holiness Bhakti Srupa Damodaraj, how he would challenge like this. If you say life comes from matter, then here's the matter, make life. But that they cannot do. There are 8,400,000 different species of life with different wishes and different actions. There, it's not just by chance that there are 8,400,000 species of life either. Or that one came from another, some chemical reaction. Srila Prabhupada says it's because there are 8,400,000 different desires. So thus there are 8,400,000 different species. Just suitable to fulfill the 8,400,000 varieties of desire. It's very scientific. It's all based on the desire of the soul. The material world is simply like a tree. Prabhupada describes how a tree is reflected on the water. No water, no reflection. It's the water that makes the reflection, you can say. Of course, there's other factors. There's the light, you can say. There's the power beyond Krishna. But the actual reflection in this world, Prabhupada says, the material world is reflected on the desire of the living entity. Separate desire from Krishna, opposite to the desire to, let's say, be with a tree or to serve the tree, but rather the reflection. So the material world is just like a reflection on the water, or it is like the perverted desire of the living entity which manifests in the form of material shape, apparent shape, and different bodies and different interactions with the material energy which are based upon the perverted desires of the living entity. When we channel our desires towards Krishna, then the reflection is no more. There is no more basis for the reflection. It becomes the reality. How the material force is working cannot be explained just on the basis of chemical reaction. A suitable example in this connection is that of a potter and the potter's wheel. A potter, clay pot, and a potter's, we know how they make, you know better than we, how they make their clay pot. The potter's wheel rotates, and several varieties of earthen pots come out. There are many causes for the earthen pots. There are many secondary causes, we can say. Earth, the machine itself, the action, the air, the water, so many things which go together to create ultimately a pot, a clay pot. But Prabhupada says the original cause is the potter, not Harry Potter. Well, Harry Potter, yeah, Hari is the original, Hari Potter. Krishna is the original potter, Hari. He is the origin of everything. Who sets the force on the wheel? Without him, nothing moves. Well, nothing exists without Krishna, and nothing will move without Krishna. Mayadya kshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This material energy is working under my direction, Krishna says. It's not independent. It's under him. We cannot see him. Many things we cannot see, but that doesn't mean there's no one behind it. And practically everything we look at, there's something or somebody behind it. There's a temple present, I guess, here in Juhu. There's somebody behind the electrics. We can't see them. But without them there, the thing will stop. It stopped in the middle of the night last night. I don't know if you noticed. I had the window wide open and suddenly all the mosquitoes came in and I couldn't sleep. And then it came on again. So there's somebody behind it. It didn't just chance. The force comes by his superintendence. Nice word, super, in his superintendence. The same idea is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Behind all material action and reaction, there is Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says that everything depends on his energy, and yet he is not everywhere. That's in the ninth chapter, isn't it? Nine chapter, text number? Who knows their Bhagavad Gita? We used to read the Bhagavad Gita once upon a time. It's not much on my agenda these days, I must admit. But it's 9456. You know this verse? Maya idam tatam. I don't even remember the verses. But if you bring a Bhagavad Gita, we can read it. Do we have a Bhagavad Gita here? Perhaps somebody has a copy with them. We always used to bring a Bhagavad Gita to class at one time. There was a great desire to absorb ourselves in these truths about Krishna. We may talk a lot of philosophy and Leela, especially in this month, but without understanding this truth of Krishna's position, it will have no meaning. One cannot understand anything about Krishna's pastimes unless it's fixed in our, let's say, Siddhanta, unless we understand the Siddhanta, the truth of who is Krishna. What is his position? This is the ABC. That everything is resting. Amatak paratadam nanyat kinchidastida nanjaya mahi sarvamidam protram sutre maniganaiva. Yes, this very nice verse is that everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. There is no truth superior to me. These we should constantly remember our position. Now we're going to the ninth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, text number 4. I'll just read a few verses here, what Prabhupada is referring to here. 9:4. There we are. By me, in my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. We don't have time to explain or to discuss the intricacies of these statements. It's very mystical. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation, for my very self, for myself is the very source of creation. Those are just a couple of verses. We could read many verses. If we go to the 10th chapter, for instance, it's a very famous verse. Right from the very beginning, Krishna explains his unique position and how he's difficult to see. In text 2 of the 10th chapter, neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. They're not independent. Some people worship Lakshmi or Ganesh or Lord Shiva, whatever it is, independently. But they're totally dependent on Krishna, also like limbs of the Lord. He who knows me as the unborn, the beginningless, as the supreme Lord of all the worlds, he only, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. And Krishna goes on. And there's a very famous, some very famous verses here. One who is factually convinced of the opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. I am, this is the famous one, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matuk Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. This is the result of understanding or realizing this knowledge. Absorb, even if we don't realize it fully, being convinced of this knowledge, that we will be inspired to engage in devotional service, which is the means of understanding Krishna, of course. There are so many references in the 7th chapter. There are many references in the 11th chapter. Now, we'll just finish this purport, then we'll go back to the first word of this 17th verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that the Lord impregnates the material energy with the part and parcel jivas. And thus, the different forms and different activities immediately ensue. Where's that verse? Anyone remember? That the Lord impregnates the jivas into this material energy? Where's that verse? I've forgotten also. Out of touch. Huh? If someone has a Gita, you can find it. I've forgotten where Krishna says that. It's because of the living entity. Of course, in the 7th chapter, he explains his energies, his separated energies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Besides these, there is another energy, the living entity, the spirit soul, causing the material energy to move, activating the material energy. Besides that, there is another, the supreme person, who is behind everything. Everything is resting upon him. Varieties. In Darwin's theory, there is no acceptance of the living entity as spirit soul, and therefore his explanation of evolution is incomplete. Varieties of phenomena occur within the universe on account of the actions and reactions of the three material modes. But the original creator or the cause is the supreme personality of Godhead, who is mentioned here as Nimitta Matram, the remote cause. He simply pushes the wheel with his energy. Doesn't have to directly do it. With his energies, he causes everything to move. All beyond these three modes of nature are causing, as in the 15th chapter, how Krishna explains how the living entity is the cause of his own happiness and distress, but the material nature is the cause of all the various effects which we experience in this world. According to the Mayavadi philosophers, the Supreme Brahman has transformed himself into many varieties of forms, but that is not the fact. Now, it's very interesting. Today is the disappearance day of Murarigupta. Now, Murarigupta is one of the most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was senior in age, as you may know. He was also a vaidya, a physician, Ayurvedic doctor. And he would cure his patients materially and spiritually. He wouldn't just give them Ayurvedic medicine, he'd also enlighten them in the nature of the absolute truth. Now Lord Chaitanya, through Murari Gupta, taught many things. They were very close, intimate associates, and even in Srivast Thakur's house, Lord Chaitanya one time said, "Murari Gupta, you are my eternal associate. Whenever I expand, you also expand, and you assist me in my pastimes." So wherever the Lord expands, Murari, he's one of the eternal confidential associates. He's not like an ordinary being. He always accompanies the Lord wherever he goes. So to hear about these type of personalities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that if we want to develop satisfaction, courage, and determination, or enthusiasm, we have to hear about these eternal associates of the Lord, their teachings, their pastimes. So today is the Tirubhal, the disappearance of Murari Gupta. So it's very, very behooves us to hear a little bit about him. I can't remember too much, but some things may come to mind. In relation to this, one pastime comes to mind. One time, when Murari Gupta came to see Lord Chaitanya and Murari Gupta, and this may have been in Srivast Thakur's house, I don't know, but he came to see them. And he offered his obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then to Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Murari, what are you doing? You should know better than this." Murari said, "What can I do, my lord? I simply act according to your will. I am not independent." And then the Lord said, "You should know better. Nityananda is senior. You have made a great mistake. It's a Vaishnav aparad." Now, we haven't got much time, but I'd like to talk more about obeisances, but we'll leave that for another time. That night, Murari went home, he had a dream, and he saw Nityananda, who appeared as a very, like a kingly wrestler, adorned in wonderful cloth, very powerful looking, marching along. And he transformed. It was Balaram. Looked just as if this is Balaram, Krishna's elder brother. Immediately Murari realized his mistake. And he realized Nityananda was none other than Balaram himself. And the next morning he went to see Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, and this time he offered his obeisances first to Nityananda and then to Balaram. First to Nityananda, then to Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Murari, what are you doing? Please explain your behavior." So Murari said something like, "My lord, I can do nothing. My body is yours. I simply exist for your pleasure. Whatever you do, whatever you wish, I act." He replied in this line. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into a different mood. He suddenly became angry. "In Kasi, in Varanasi, there is one rogue who denies my personality, who denies that I am the cause of everything. He says that the impersonal Brahman is the cause of everything. That rascal I am punishing. I am inflicting leprosy upon him. His name is Prakashananda Saraswati." The Lord went into rage, and then he described the bogus philosophy. He says that that the absolute truth transforms into this reflected energy, but he does not understand the truth. He got really angry. He wanted to kill that demoniac mentality. Then he came back out of that mood and again returned into his loving relationship with Murari. So it's interesting to note how this offering of obeisance, he was teaching that first we have to offer obeisances to the Guru. Otherwise there's no question, or the devotees, of approaching Mahaprabhu or Krishna. And one who doesn't have this humility will never understand the nature of the absolute truth. It is not possible. There are so many wonderful pastimes regarding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Mayavadi philosophy, the Supreme Brahman has transformed himself into many varieties of forms, but that is not the fact. He is always transcendental. To the actions and reactions of this material gunas. Even Shankaracharya explained this. Narayano paroho vyaktat. That Narayana is always beyond his this material creation. He is always transcendental. Although he is the cause of all causes, Lord Brahma says, therefore in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. There are many causes and effects, but the original cause is Sri Krishna. End of purport. That refers to Nimitta Matra. In the Bhagavad Gita, if we go to the 11th chapter, I think it's 33, something like that. I don't know, maybe not. What number is it? Not 33. What number in the 11th? Oh, in the wrong chapter. Maybe 33. Here it is, 11:33. Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhavyasavya Sachin. Just become the instrument. This word Nimitta Matra, same word is used here. It means just the cause. But in practical terms, Krishna means you just become the instrument, Arjuna. I am the cause, ultimate cause. You just work under my direction. As the material energy is working under the direction of Krishna, the jivas perfect their existence by working under Krishna's direction, as Murari Gupta has just explained. So the principle of working under the direction of the spiritual master and the direction of authority is the principle of release from this material illusion, this material energy. There's a wonderful purport by Prabhupada which explains the same principle. Just become an instrument. This word is very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that nature is moving without a plan and all manifestations are but accidental transformations or formations. There are many so-called scientists who suggest that perhaps it was like this, maybe it was like that. But there is no question of perhaps and maybe. There is a specific plan being carried out in the material world. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality which makes them try to lord it over the material nature, they are conditioned. Even in our efforts to become devotees, we may have this domineering or controlling mentality over others or things. This is a material disease. It has to be cured. Murari Gupta cured these diseases. He was a physician. We have to take shelter of the physician and allow the physician to give the recipe or the necessary prescription to cure our disease, our bodily disease of life, of thinking in these terms, thinking in terms of I am the body, or I am the controller, or I am this or that. We may still have a little bit of a tinge of that in our lives still, maybe. I can certainly say I do. And it's very wonderful. We have a lot of purification still to take advantage of. So I find personally that hearing about these great devotees is very inspiring. So I'll just tell a few more stories about Murari Gupta that come to mind. Of course, he wrote a very famous book, Chaitanya Charita, upon which the Chaitanya Bhagavat, much of it was based. It was the childhood pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. Because Murari Gupta was senior, Lord Chaitanya would sometimes chide him and make fun of him, because Murari Gupta was a great Vaishnava. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a young boy, he was behaving like a pandit, a scholar. He would propound the philosophy of Nyaya and the logic and reason and so on. And he would tease Murari Gupta sometimes, and he'd argue. And, you know, Murari Gupta would sometimes try to avoid Mahaprabhu in different ways, try to avoid him in different ways like this. Anyway, they had their various pastimes when they were in Mayapur. One time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Srivastangam, in the home of Srivast Thakur. And Narada was there, and he manifested his forearm form as Narayan. And suddenly, as Narayan, then he called out, "Garuda! Garuda! Come!" Immediately, Narada Gupta ran into the room. "Here I am, my lord. I am your eternal carrier. I'm ready. I can take you wherever you want. I took you to the place of Indra, that time when you wanted the Parijata tree. I took you there. I'm ready again." Lord jumped on his shoulders, and they started flying around, all around the house. Everyone was astonished. Everyone was in ecstasy. Lord was on the back of Murari Gupta. They were flying around like this. Another time, I think it was in the house of Murari Gupta. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Lord Chaitanya came and manifested the form of Lord Varaha, the boar form. And he picked up a pot in the house of Murari and picked it up on his, like on his tusk, carried it around like the earth. And Murari Gupta fell and offered his obeisances and prayers to the Lord in his form of Varaha. Another time when Lord Chaitanya was manifesting his Mahaprakash pastimes, he manifested before Murari. What form did he manifest? Who knows? Which form? Yes. Ramchandra. He manifested that form of Lord Ramachandra before Murari Gupta. Because another time he tried to encourage, Lord Chaitanya explained that once I tried to convince Murari Gupta to take completely to the worship of Radha and Krishna. Murari Gupta said, "My lord, I am your servant. I have to do what you say." He tried, but he couldn't. That night he went home and he was crying and he was praying to his Lord Ranganath, "My lord, please, how can I do this? I cannot, I've sold my head to your lotus feet. I cannot withdraw it. At the same time, I cannot disobey or reject your instruction to me, which you gave me today in the form of Mahaprabhu, to worship Radha and Krishna. What shall I do? I think I should give up my life this very night. I can't do it." He was ready to give up his life that very night. He couldn't, practically couldn't tolerate it. The idea of giving up his service to Lord Ramchandra. The next day when Lord Chaitanya saw him, he said, "You have passed the test. I tested you to see how determined, how dedicated you are to your Lord. You have passed the test." He said, "You are none other than Hanuman. You are the eternal servant of Ramchandra, Hanuman himself." So he takes different parts. When the Lord expands in different forms, this same personality expands into different service roles. Just like Haridas Thakur, when the Lord expands in different roles, he expands to perform different services to the Lord in different forms, to assist the Lord in his mission. These are eternal associates. They're not conditioned souls. They're Nityabhadas, and they assist the Lord. So be hearing about these Nityabhadas and hearing their instructions, we can gradually develop the mood of these Nitya Siddhas, excuse me. We can develop the mood of these Nitya Siddhas. So Murari Gupta, he's one of those wonderful Nitya Siddhas. Now our time is expiring, and we haven't got a couple of minutes left, and I guess we better finish there. I'm sure there are many more pastimes of Murari Gupta, and the purport could be expanded in so many different ways. But we should try to also become Nimitta Matram, instruments to assist Srila Prabhupada in this great service to deliver all the conditioned souls, to lift up the conditioned souls from their illusion, to deliver all the conditioned souls from the coverings. We're all conditioned by various doctrines and so on and so forth, which we've developed in our sojourns in this world. So to purify our consciousness, we take shelter of those pure devotees, just as Arjuna took shelter of Lord of Krishna and was successful, even though the obstacles were very great. So by taking shelter of these great personalities, one becomes empowered, or one becomes protected also by the Lord. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Narad. We would also quickly like to say one quick thing. The most auspicious thing about being here today is that you're here, and so many wonderful devotees are here. Senior Vaishnavas, God brothers and sisters. I've seen Lakshmi Munis come, and Anuttama Prabhu, and Tattavit, and Purna Pragya, and so many wonderful devotees are here today. We'd like to thank you for tolerating, and I pray for your mercy that we can become a servant of the servants. Narada Prabhu.
Prabhupada talks about for the material disease we have spiritual solutions. Perhaps after many years, although we know our material disease, spiritual solutions, but we are not realizing still the material disease which is within us. Could you please give some examples of resolving those material diseases?
I'm an example of one who hasn't. So maybe you can learn something from me, I don't know. But from others we may be able to learn, that's for sure. Very embarrassing. I am full of material disease, pride and arrogance and envy and lust and greed and anger and madness and illusion and all the expansions of those. Basically speaking, my ornaments, my constant associates, we can laugh at it, and in one sense you can laugh at it too, in a sense, if you can see yourself apart from it all. There's different things. One is a little knowledge of seeing yourself apart from all of this and not identifying with it. This is ABC. What amazing thing the mind is, you know, how it all these different pictures, and we think this is me and this is me and I'm this and I'm that and this person is this and this person is that and this is mine and that's theirs, and whatever the mind comes up with, when you see yourself apart from it, it's like watching a TV, and you can laugh at it and to a certain extent and just admire how amazing the energies of the Lord are. Incredible things. That's one thing. With a little bit of philosophical perspective, we can also hear, of course, some great personalities like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and like one of my